I might not have always been the most skilled barber in the room. I may have lacked in some sort of areas, but I'll give anything a go. But I will be the first one there in the morning. I'll be the last one out at night. And I think that resonates through, and I will just give it everything I've got. We're therapists without, you know, giving the title.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Sometimes I sit there at the end of the day and I go, that was a tough day. Mm. And just being able to help my clients listen is a great space already.
I think just about everyone I've had on the couch has used the phrase imposter syndrome at least once. We're like really hardworking. We're really talented. We send people out feeling brilliant. But at our core, most of us as owners, which is, you know, a really big thing for me, we feel isolated. We feel lost. We get stressed. Mm. How do you cope with that? Hi there. I'm Anthony Laban. And you're watching the Noble Barber Podcast. We're here to cut through the crap of the industry and give the answers, or at least try and find the answers to the problems that all of us as business owners struggle with every day. Thanks very much for watching. I hope you enjoy the episode. Welcome to another episode of The Noble Barber. I'm here today with Connor Evans from the Men's Grooming Company.
That's right.
Nice to see you, fella.
You too, mate. Thank you for having me.
I think it's probably the best is to let you start and tell us where your beginnings were, and then I'll crack in on the when we get up to date.
Awesome. So I kind of fell into barbering when I was 16. I didn't really know what else to do. My mom and dad, I come from a long line of hairdressers and barbers, and they actually pushed me away from it. But, you know, I stuck to my guns and I went through. And, I did an apprenticeship in hairdressing because there wasn't any way you could go and do barbering when I sort of come through.
Who did you do your apprenticeship with?
So I did VTCT in Coventry, a local, it was like a local college to us. And yeah, did that, did hairdressing. It was great, enjoyed it. But I always found my passion and my forte was doing gents. Mm. So I was working at a salon at the time, and then I just decided, you know what? They were trying to get me to do stuff that I wasn't comfortable with in terms of, it was just stuff I didn't find that I was very good at taking a lot of orders. So right. I thought, well, at this point, I've got to go it alone. So I went and opened up my own shop at 18.
Well done.
Yeah. Looking back now, I think, wow, what a learning curve. Yeah. But at the time, very nerve-wracking, but I was, you know, very egotistical. Mm. You know, I thought this is going to be me. But at the same time, I also thought my skill set's not up to the level it should be, but I'm going to give it a go anyway. So I went and did a couple of courses with Sid Sottung. Shout out, Sid. Amazing. Anyone who goes and does his courses, you know, you won't be disappointed. He took me under his wing and we sort of worked together and he educated me for a few years. And the business grew back at home. And yeah, so this was when he was in Nottingham as well. So thankfully it was 50-minute drive from Coventry. Perfect. Yeah, I was one of his first students in the UK. And he has had some big names go through that academy since. So again, shout out to Sid. He took me under his wing, gave me a lot of opportunities to work with him, work on stage. And yeah, the business just grew back at home. At 21, I had two shops. And then it was just growing. He was giving me opportunities to go across Europe and teach. And yeah, at 20, I think I was 28, 2017, we opened Men's Grooming Company. And it's just been a bit of a whirlwind, really.
So the original two shops were closed down and long gone?
Yeah, so we had two at one point. And then there were two separate locations. They were quite small shops, but one bit of business advice I'll give to anybody trying to open up a barbershop, a hair salon, is start small, build, get your clientele right, get your services right, make sure you get your pricing right, and then go from there and expand. I see a lot of business owners that try and open up and they open up in a massive shop and they haven't got the clientele. They haven't got the staff to support it. And I think it's just a more organic way is to grow and build rather than open up and just tempt fate.
Yeah.
So it's been a bit of a whirlwind, to be honest with you, over the past 10 years, 11 years of my career.
Well done. And the grooming company's gone well?
Oh, amazing. Yeah. So Again, we opened up in 2017. We started with a small core team of us. And now we are on 9 barbers, including myself. We have a hair stylist in there. We have a fully fledged coffee shop. So we sell coffee to the public. We sell retail, like trainers, clothes, skateboards, kind of little limited edition watches, different things like that. And now, as of this year, we started a podcast, Hotheads Media, from the shop as well. Yeah. So,
excellent.
Yeah.
How are you enjoying that?
Amazing. It's different. You learn a lot. You know,
hey, tell me about it.
I've got to 32 years old, and sometimes you think, can you learn much more? And honestly, I've been thrown into the deep end. But that's probably, you know, sharks are born swimming.
Yeah.
You know, jumped in, give it my best. And my problem is I'm relentless. So once I start something, you know, it's got to work. Otherwise, I'll take it with me to the grave. So yeah, loving it, enjoying it. The shop's going great. So yeah.
Yeah, no, you say that because I was first in, your name first came up to me via Dan Davis.
Yeah, shout out, Dan.
He's been a big supporter of us. Thank you. And the one thing he said to you, to me about you was that you were really kind of keen to try things, that you were always looking for a new pool to swim in. And that seems to kind of characterize you and opened up an awful lot of doors for you.
1,000,000%. I might not have always been the most skilled barber in the room. I may have lacked in some sort of areas, but I'll give anything a go. I'll try my hardest. I will always continue my education in hairdressing, in anything I do, but I will be the first one there in the morning. I'll be the last one out at night. I will work harder than anyone else or try my best to do that. And I think that resonates through, and I will just give it everything I've got. And me and Dan, like, Dan's really helped me in my career and he's pushed me forward to a lot. And hopefully, like, I've been a good, like, support for him when he has pushed me towards it and I haven't let him down. And I think, yeah, with them good ethics, it's really taken me quite far in my career.
Yeah. Well, I think that's it. I think it's really easy, especially, mate. I mean, you know, I set my first company up when I was like 22 and that felt young.
Amazing.
Jeez, 18. I mean, that's a level of, you know, of immortality that you believe in yourself. But you know, I think you need to kind of keep pushing yourself. You know, I mean, Luke here will remember our first one. I'm sure no one else has ever watched the first one ever again. But you need to get yourself out of your comfort zone and into something that pushes you somewhere else. And I think you've been a great advocate of that every time we've spoken about. You've got yourself into something.
I think that's the way you grow. If you stay stagnant, I think I would get bored if I stayed doing the same thing every day. And I like to experience new challenges. Whether my family and friends say that's the best thing for me, I don't know. They see me stress myself out a lot, trying new things, but I just don't want to regret anything. You know, I don't want to look back in 20 years and go, wish I'd have tried that.
No, well done. But, you know, I mean, saying that about the kind of stress, because I think, you know, and I've owned companies for a long, 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 long time now. There is just this underlying stress. There is this kind of fear of the smell of failure hitting you, things going wrong, you know, pretending you know the answer to everything. And I think just about everyone I've had on the couch has used the phrase imposter syndrome at least once. So we're cursed with this. We're like really hardworking. We're really talented. We send people out feeling brilliant. But at our core, most of us as owners, which is, you know, a really big thing for me, we feel isolated. We feel lost. We get stressed. How are you coping with that? How do you cope with that?
That's a great way of putting it. Exactly the same. Imposter syndrome, especially this year, has really set in. I don't think I'm ever good enough. I think a lot of the time I wing a lot of things and it works, but I'll try to make it work no matter what the problem is. Even here today, I left the shop this morning, everything's swimming, not a problem. And then we've had a leak in the shop while I was on the way here and the lads can't seem to sort it out. But something always happens when I'm away from the shop, you know, and not controlling things. So maybe I have a tendency to over control things. So this year I've really tried to let things just be, you know, and what will be, and be confident in myself and my own skill set. Because imposter syndrome is definitely a big
thing.
I
mean, I had my company for 20 odd years, which I shut down. I say shut down, like I had complete choice over the matter, but it went. And it was then, I think, the first time I started reaching out to people to help me.
Yeah.
Prior to that, I'd been the person that I felt everyone had to come to for help. I'll solve everything.
Yeah.
That level of control. To kind of rescind that and kind of actually to reach out, I'm absolutely amazed even now how when I reach out, how many people, even if I don't know them, are willing to jump on board and help. So maybe dragging you away from the shop today, the leak will be fixed. This is a whole new, you didn't realise what a fundamental thing today was for you.
1,000,000%. Everything will be fine. The plumber's on hand.
Yeah, there you go.
You know, you've got to delegate.
Mm.
That's how you can grow also. You know, grow the business. I can't be there all the time.
Yeah.
So you have to delegate and trust in others. So that's my goal for 2024.
Well, I think that's a really good goal. I think we could all have that one.
Yeah.
And it's kind of, you know, while we're talking about that, you know, you were quite involved with the Lion.
Yeah, Lion's Barber Collective.
For a while, yeah.
So a good friend and colleague and like a mentor in this industry for me, Tom Chapman, he founded the Lion's Barber Collective in 2017, the same year I founded Men's Grooming Company. And as of last week, the charity has folded. Mm. We have lost a bit of funding. And it was a sad week last week. You know, I shared it on my YouTube channel this morning. You know, it was a sad day for me even just talking about it. But over the years, we have saved many lives. We have raised awareness around men's mental health and suicide prevention. I take my hat off to Tom Chapman because it's been a tough time for him, rewarding but tough, but he has saved more lives than he would ever know or ever like to consider. And it's been an amazing journey for what it was. And he's going to carry on in some format. But yeah, unfortunately, you know, the Lions Barbers was shut down last week. But for me, it was a great experience and it taught me a lot.
Yeah. Was that what got you interested and involved with them?
So I see people on a daily basis. You know, the amount of people I have in my chair, if I do 10 a day, 10 people have got 10 different problems.
Yeah.
And they could all be relatively similar, but they're all unique to them. And it was like an ongoing concern. I've seen people struggling. So I wanted to do something and help my clients, even if it was just get educated in helping them, pointing them in the right direction to go and get the right mental health services. Because I didn't know at that point. No. It was something becoming more apparent every year. So I spoke to Tom and he allowed me to come and join the Lions and I got educated and stuff like that. But I'd been in it maybe 2 or 3 years and I lost my close friend. He was like a brother to me. To suicide. And then it became ever more apparent. He was 21 years old and he was like family to me. And then I had a reason then even more so to carry on with the journey. Yeah. So that was
I think, yeah, I mean, that's the one thing that I think, you know, Tom's definitely kind of taught the industry, is about us talking a bit more, being a bit more open about it, about how we're all feeling. And, you know, as I said, that recognizing, you know, the intimate relationship you're having with your clients, whether it's for 20 minutes, half an hour, you could be the only person they've talked to for a couple of days.
Oh, 100%. And it's a safe space that you create. And we're therapists without, you know, giving the title.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Sometimes I sit there at the end of the day and I go, that was a tough day. And just being able to help my clients listen is a great space already. But to have the knowledge to give them the direction to help themselves is the best thing that Lions has ever taught me.
Yeah. Well, I mean, let's keep positive about what Tom's up to next.
1,000,000%.
And I do think, you know, as an industry, we need to carry on that mantra of talking it through because there's still too much.
There's more people to help.
Yeah. definitely. Moving to a slightly lighter note, the one phrase that keeps knocking around for me now is this ambassador title.
Okay.
And, you know, I see that you're involved now with Insight.
Yeah.
And so not wanting to give too much shout for Insight, which is excellent, I'm sure. I'm intrigued by the ambassadorship because, again, you know, you've got enough going on. You're concerned when you leave your shop. Yeah. You're busy. And then you take on another role.
Yeah.
What does being an ambassador entail? What does Insight want from you and what do you want from Insight?
First thing I would say, anybody looking to get an ambassadorship or is approached for some sort of ambassadorship, is it has to be right for you. You can't sell your soul to the devil to make a bit of money. Or I believe as barbers and stylists who have had years in the industry, we have a duty of care to the younger barbers coming in and the young ones coming in to our industry, to not shell them products, to not just push the wrong thing. Mm. So for me, I've been offered many ambassadorships over the years and turned them down because they don't align with what I want or they don't support me in my career already. So Insight have been great. The products are great. They have supported me. I've been with them now since October 2023 and they support me where needed. I think the main thing is you get a lot of support where you're needed. Depending on what type of ambassadorship you go for through other things, you may get money out of it, but it's not all bells and whistles.
Mm.
Going for these things that young barbers and anyone in the industry want to strive to get, you know, you can end up selling your soul to the devil for a little bit of pocket change. And in my experience, it's just not worth it. I have been in ambassadorship roles before that outstretched me too much and it then affected the shop back at home and it affected my stylists. And that's not what I wanted. So for me, I believe they align with what I believe in. They are a great support of my business and allow me to do what I need and they are flexible and the products are great.
Yeah. I think that's really true. I think there are. I think when you find something that you want to work with, regardless, then it's less work and it's just another tool in your arsenal. It's another bit of kit for you.
Hmm.
I think they do have a place, but I think that's a very good point. It is a matter of you've got to love the product.
Yeah,
you know, working with a tool that you don't like just because that
primarily the ambassadorships and the products you're pushing, you're going to sell to your clients and you're going to sell to other barbers within the industry and hairstylists. So for me, I wouldn't be able to sleep at night if I'm recommending, let's say, a clipper that I don't use.
Yeah.
Because, you know, who am I to tell people to go and buy that? So that's my ethos.
Yeah,
and that's
I think there needs to be a bit of integrity in it or it is, as you say, just selling your soul.
And that's why I love what you're doing, because it's just, you know, just cutting straight through the crap.
Mm.
And it is, you know, getting to the point.
I love my tagline. Yeah. No, that's absolutely it. I think that's, thank you. Thank you very much. I'm intrigued whenever I meet anyone who does more than just being behind the chair. You know, I know what doing other things takes out of me.
Yeah.
You know, and you're involved with quite a lot of sport activities and you've done championship and you've done that side of things. And so obviously, you know, there's a tie back, I guess. I mean, sports and mental health tend to be a counteract for each other. How do you work within those industries and how does it work for you?
So we've obviously referenced the mental health side of things and what we do for the barbers, but we also work with a lot of like high level sports persons or so-called celebrities. If I called them a celebrity, they'd be like, sure.
Yeah.
But from the outside, that's what people perceive them as. So there's some big fighters within the industry and we are lucky enough to work with them. But it's an ongoing relationship with us and these pro fighters. Now, for me, you know, I've been in mixed martial arts since I was 18. So that's why I align more with like UFC, PFL, Octagon fighters, and boxing myself. So it's easy for me to attract that type of clientele because I would know some of these guys on a more personal level, and I know how hard it is to get to the, you know, get to these top levels. So what I do is I allow them to, when you're a fighter, you have a fight camp and everything is prepped. And if I can allow them to take one thing away from worrying, which is looking good on fight day and haircuts on the way up to it whenever they need, that's what I do. I take one bit of their preparation so they don't have to worry about it. They tell me when, where, and I'll be there, or they come to me. And then they feel confident on their fight day. And that's basically what I do. So I am up and down the country. I do get a lot of opportunity to go and work with high level fighters, and hopefully we can take some more on and just give them that bit of freedom so they don't have to think about it.
Well, I think Instagram tells us that there are this bunch of barbers out there that are doing three or four haircuts a day for 400 odd quid a haircut and then going back to bed. Is that the reality?
No.
A lot of schlepping around, and they're still your customer base that you're looking after.
You can. I know of barbers that do that, definitely. And shout out to them guys. You know, I'm in awe of you guys. You know, that's amazing. Congratulations. But
it's less than 1% of our...
Oh, yeah. Less than that, probably. you know, and they are very talented. Mm. And I think they've got there on hard work. So if you're watching this and you... think, oh, it's because of this or it's because of that. No, they're skilled and they are hard working.
Yeah.
And they have got to that because they've stepped out of their comfort zone and offered a lot. And now they're able to charge that. And for me, I don't charge that. We get offered different things from different people depending on who they are. And a lot of the time, they shout out my business back at home. They put my business on their shorts. They allow me to attract more clients to my shop because they say, oh, he goes there, he gets his haircut. Oh, that guy goes and cuts his hair. So yes, you can make a lot of money doing these celebrity haircuts, but at the same time, don't strive for that because that will come around organically and it's not all it's cracked up to be. Yeah. I've spent many years with fighters who are amateur and now they've made it, but I was supporting them back then. You know, so they're the relationships you need to have if that less than 1% make it and are able to charge that money.
I mean, I think we have that industry that we, you know, the big bit of ours is that we are kind of innate networkers and we are innate matchmakers and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, you seem to have really embraced that aspect of it. Because, you know, I think it might have been Alex Baron-Ho about you never quite know who's in the chair and when you start chatting.
Yeah.
I think, it was George Smith, I think. George was saying that his backers, his investors and his designers for his product range came from cutting a guy's hair who turned out to be, you know, and that's who you've got in your chair. And I guess, you know, from your point of view, that's your clientele. It's where the favors come from and how it works its way through.
Yeah, 1,000,000%. I have got everyone in my chair, celebrity or not, through somebody else saying, that's a great haircut.
Yeah, good old-fashioned bit of marketing, mate. Doing some great work.
Instagram's great, but there's nothing like a good review on a haircut. Yeah.
I mean, I think that's really it, isn't it? You know, review is the power of it all.
Mm.
No. And so the other side, while we're moving smoothly into, we've never been this smoothly. What's
really
happening today?
I like that.
We've got, you've done quite a bit of competition work and I've found myself getting more interested in what's happening in the competition world now.
Amazing.
Why should you? That
so
kind of thing.
That rolls all with what we've just spoken about. Mm. You can't be noticed the majority can't be noticed by staying in your shop, doing haircuts and not promoting it. The best way to elevate your career is by winning a barbering or hairdressing competition. That is the key to success or being in the running with winning.
Yeah, finalist has got a good punch to it.
Yeah. You know, look, I've always lost out to some amazing competition. Mm. I'm not going to sit here and go, oh, well, I thought this was better. No. Every time I've lost, the images have been amazing. Yeah. And the barber or hairdresser is very skilled and they're a credit to the industry and they have won by sheer talent and the image or whatever was just better. But if you do want to take the next step in your career, you want to work with big brands, you want to be seen in the industry, you have to enter competitions and you have to get up within the finalists. And it was something my mum and dad are award-winning hairstylist. Well, my dad, you know, he passed away when I was 12, but he used to cut the Coventry City football team hair when they were in the Premier League. He used to travel up and down the country doing hair competitions before Instagram, everything was, you know, you used to have to travel and you could compete. And it's like, that was the way you competed. Mm. So we're fortunate enough that we can do a lot online these days. You know, you can enter a competition through photographic image, or you can go and compete at some of these places, but it was never as easy as that. So I've come from that background and I knew that's what it entailed to hit them heights of the industry. And I love it. There's nothing like the thrill of setting a photo shoot up, getting these images and then competing. There's nothing like it. So I will never stop competing in these, you know, no matter how my career goes over the next 10 years, because I think it's a thrill. I now set up photo shoots for my staff. So we go and I will oversee that photo shoot to get the best image possible. And it is a great way of propelling your career, definitely.
Yeah. Mm. No, it is. I'm finding it really fascinating. The quality of work now that's coming through.
Incredible.
Yeah, that's why I still get confused by kind of hair salon and barbershop. You know, the barbershop work is just starting. I guess kind of hairdressers have historically been doing it a little bit longer and they've been much more kind of imagery for salons. And a lot of the barbershop imagery maybe is kind of, I don't know, maybe 2014, 2015 onwards maybe.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we're just knocking it out of the park. Everything I pick up and look at... not just your last collection, which was beautiful, by the way.
Thank you very much.
But, you know, the gist is, so the quality of work, even these little one-shot competitions, it's really high.
And it's amazing to see because in my 10, 12 years I've been in the industry, the level is where I always wanted it to be, you know, and it's only getting better. Like, it's great to see our dynamic industry flourishing so much. It's amazing, you know, and that's where we should be. Because we are a little setback from hairdressing as a whole. So to keep pushing forward with this is great. But the main thing I've learned from photo shoots is you can do the best haircut in the world, but if it doesn't look good on camera, it's not a good image. Mm. So it's not just about the haircut.
No, annoyingly it is about the photographer as well.
Yeah.
Do you... shoot yourself, or do you have a photographer you work with regularly? Have you got a team that you work with?
So we've got a team back home in Coventry. Again, I've been really fortunate because just around the corner from my salon is an amazing hair salon, and they've got a photography studio. And Lucy Johnson, who has shot some amazing images, front cover shoots, she's helped me and guided me through the last 10 years of my career. And she's phenomenal. And we have a team that we go in, and you also need to have a core team of models because I've never once in my life paid for a model for any of my photo shoots. But that might be me giving free haircuts for years and go, one day I'm going to use you as a model if that's okay. I'll give you a free haircut or free haircuts up until then. So it's a collaboration of the same people through different years and models all helping each other out.
Yeah, I think you can see it. I mean, I am a little bit pissed off that your models were all free.
Yeah.
Because that was a good stat last set. I wouldn't have thought that. I was just about to ask you how much it cost you because that was a good set of great looking models.
Yeah, so you can spend thousands.
Yeah.
But you also don't have to if you know how to do it. And that is one thing I was given education on last year, and we can speak about it through, like, you know, my channel and stuff, if that's what people are interested in. Mm. You don't have to spend a lot out, but you have to put the groundwork in place to be able to, in a year's time, go, right, I need to use you, and I've been giving you free haircuts all year. Is that okay? Mm. Photographers, a great way to get them, contact your local uni. They want to build their portfolios, and you can get some absolute gems through there. And that goes for makeup artists, photographers, models, anything like that. Mm.
It is forging that team, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, if you're kind of new to it, and you're bringing people also that are new to it, it's just being the catalyst that kind of makes it happen.
That's it.
Yeah, I think Ian Harold, who was...
amazing American crew.
Yeah, we're always, you know, I was quite open that he was spending, you know, as little as £300 on his set of pictures.
Doesn't surprise me.
And then up to a few grand. But, you know, no, it is. It's very impressive how it's all going. And so let's do podcast.
Okay,
just to prove that I'm not threatened. So the podcast you've started is called...
Hotheads Media.
Excellent. And it's quite a different format. Well, it's very different to ours.
Yeah.
What's the premise? What are you up to with it?
So we are, from my understanding, the one, the only, like the go-to place for all things barbering, hairdressing and business. So every Monday, I will give you a weekly update on the news of the week, let's say. So some weeks we could cover clipper news, discounts that have gone on that week, new lineups for industry events, whatever's been happening in our industry, I update you in one easily digestible place so you can put it on in the background on a Monday morning and get all the week's news so you don't have to feel you have to search Instagram all day, Facebook all day. And that's what I get from podcasts like this. I find listening to stuff and listening to people I aspire to be like, amazing. I'll put it on in the background and I can easily take it in. It's easily digestible. Mm. So I just do this in a different format.
No, I love it. No, I think you're doing great guns, mate. I think, you know, you've seen it in the press, you know, there's a variety of magazines that shrink the news down to save people scaring all the way through it.
Yeah.
And I think it is our industry. There's lots going on out there, and keeping up to date with the news.
It's
very time consuming.
And I think it takes a lot out of you to be scrolling through Instagram all the time, trying to
But you're doing that though.
I do my slogan is I do the hard work so you don't have to.
Oh, that's what it is. That's how you're justifying sitting there scrolling through your phone all night.
One thing I will say though is I can now not go onto Instagram or Facebook, all these forums, Twitter, TikTok, unless I'm looking for news, because I'll flick through it and I'll miss it.
Yeah.
And then if I just randomly go on and scroll, I'm going to miss the important updates that these guys need. So I have limited myself now, and I have to be very aware of when I do go on it, that everything I am doing is I'm consuming the news of the week to push out on a Monday morning.
Yeah, no, well done. But again, it's more time. You know, you're throwing yourself back into the lion's den at every opportunity.
Yeah, that's it. Some people say, you know, I'm mental, but...
And so the team that you're now trusting alone with the plumber, good bunch? Working
amazing.
Well with you?
Amazing. Like, I've never had such a good team. They are
fantastic.
The shop, shout out to them guys if you're watching it. The shop wouldn't be what it is today without them. Yes, my name is on the lease and all of that sort of stuff, but if they don't come to work each day, if they don't give great haircuts all the time, the shop isn't what it is without them. And I'm not there to go, do this, do that. I'm there to go, how can I help? How can we get the best out of you? Mm. And that's basically what I do. You know, I'm first one in the morning cleaning. I'm the last one in every night cleaning, you know?
Yeah,
so.
No, are you seeing these guys getting themselves into the photography? Are you seeing that they're wanting to nose their way into different parts of the industry?
Yeah, 1,000,000%. Each year we'll, like I say, put a shoot together and they get collections throughout the year, images for collections throughout the year which they can go and enter, and they're so talented. But photo shoots don't always make you money.
No.
So you have to make sure you're looking after your core clientele back at home. So
It's interesting chatting to lots of people. Our role as boss employed. Is you employer or are they self-employed? How does your team run?
Self-employed because I believe that gets the best out of them.
Yep.
Any employed staff I've ever had, they slack.
But you keep that keeps everyone enthused and positive.
Yeah, because they get
but your job now, whether you are employer, you know, business owner, whatever your title is. Your job really is to kind of egg the staff on and keep them enthused. Our role is definitely changed into something that is
supportive.
That is supporting. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a great way of putting it. You know, they can do great things with me supporting.
Mm.
And I wish when I came up through the industry, it was always been me.
Mm.
And I wish if I had that sort of support in a shop level, I'd maybe be even further than I am now. Thankfully, I've had the support through industry mentors throughout the years.
Mate, well done. Buddy, thank you so much for coming up.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it. It's been great.
It was spot on. And I'll keep a good eye out on your podcast.
Awesome.
Thank you very much. We'll make sure we put a link up on yours when it comes out. And good luck with the future.
Thank you very much. You too.
Thank you. Hi there. If you've got a story or know someone with a story or have a topic that you think we should cover that we haven't yet, please get in touch. We'd love to speak to you.